Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Martin O'Neill discuss a defining day in the Premier League title race as both Arsenal and Liverpool lose at home. Manchester City are in pole position after smashing Luton 5-1. So are the Gunners and Liverpool in danger of unravelling? Who have been the bigger bottlers? And Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen have won the Bundesliga with 5 games to spare, leaving Bayern Munich in their dust. Does Alonso's decision to turn down a potential return to Liverpool and replace Jurgen Klopp show a lack of ambition? This is Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Before I speak to Mr. Simon, Jordan, Martin O'Neill, haven't seen you for a few weeks because I lost my voice, much to the delight of the listeners. Some days ago, and you were on, I think, presumably with Sam Matafish, and doing a damn good job. How have you been, sir?
I've been fine. Thanks very much, Jim. How are you feeling now?
Very good, and thank you for asking, which is more than he would ever do. Martin, you've been to a few games as well. You've been taking in some matches.
Yeah, the day I did Talk Sport, I travelled up to Manchester City and Aston Villa, which is a good game. Following day, which was the Thursday, I went down to Stamford Bridge, Chelsea and Manchester United, which was incredible game of football.
Yeah.
And followed up, I went last Tuesday, I went to Arsenal against Bayern Munich. So, yeah, watched a few games.
Here, there and everywhere. Mr. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning.
You've had a busy one, have you not, in your other media pursuits? You've been here and there. I've been hearing on the grapevine. How's it been going? What can you tell us?
I had a good chat with David Gill on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, a good 2 hours with David Gill. He's a very interesting and very, very thoughtful person about all things Manchester United and all things football. Played a lot of padel tennis this weekend. Got to do a podcast this evening with Callum Smith, John Terry later on in the week.
Oh, right. Oh, Callum Smith, boxer tonight.
Yeah, indeed.
Excellent. Mm. The famous Smith family. Indeed. I was at the EFL Awards last night, Martin. Mm. Shortly, we're going to be hearing from Kieran McKenna. What about 11 o'clock. Thank you, producer Luke.
Good job, he's done.
There's a lad who's impressed many, many people in the game, Simon. And I'd forgotten, Martin, that he'd been at Manchester United and had such a good spell under the likes of Mourinho, under Ole, under Ranić. And he gleaned a lot of valuable experience during that time.
Well, you would do with those people in charge of the football club. So, but his tenure at Ipswich has just been fantastic.
Yeah.
Really terrific. You know, getting a side up. There he is competing with the 3 teams that went down, don't have the money, and it has been a powerful season for them.
Yep. So Championship Manager of the Year, Kieran McKenna. But as I said at the top, a defining day in the title race as both Arsenal and Liverpool lose. So is it going to be that same familiar story unfolding again? Manchester City, Premier League champions. What actually happened yesterday then? Arteta in a moment, but first Jurgen Klopp.
We have to be around when the others struggle, if they struggle at all. We will see that. And if not, we still have need points for the Champions League, all these kind of things. So it's like, we have to play better football. That's my concern. And that for 95 minutes or 100 minutes. Then it's okay. And then take what you get, was always like that, but you should not play like we played in the first half, but it happened. And that I did, that I couldn't turn it around with the boys, that disappoints me personally a lot.
You want to play at this level, you're going to have these moments through games, after games, and you're going to have to stand up and count. And this is our challenge now, and that's what we have to do. If we are capable of doing it, we become a team with a real a chance to win things. And if we don't, obviously not.
So that was that. Simon, are Arsenal and Liverpool seasons in danger of unravelling? Is this what we're witnessing?
A little bit, yeah. Obviously, Liverpool specifically at this moment in time, because they've gotten knocked out of the FA Cup. They've gotten smashed midweek by Atalanta. Difficult to see how they can get back in that, but you'd never put anything past Jurgen Klopp and his team. But this current version of them, I mean, I had a long conversation with Sunesh yesterday, who was in a very disappointed frame of mind because his two teams had lost.
Right.
Rangers and Liverpool.
Yeah.
And you seem to wonder what's gone on with Liverpool in the last week or so, in the last 10 days. I thought they struggled against Sheffield United to get past Sheffield United a week earlier than that. You wonder how big these players are and how able they are to overcome the adversity, because we build them up as being this Liverpool side that was potentially on course for a quadruple. They've been in this situation before, and here they are really quite legitimately staring down the barrel of a League Cup win.
Yeah,
that's what they're now potentially looking at. Look, I still think there'll be another twist, but Man City are looking...
Do you think?
I think they would...
Manchester City are looking in a very familiar position.
Well,
this
is my point. Manchester City are looking like champions again. You know, they look at their run-in on paper, which you don't win anything on, but notwithstanding that, you have to take it into consideration. Looks the less challenging of the lot. It looks like Manchester City, you know, whether you like it or you're not, could be on the way to another treble. You know, Premier League, FA Cup and Champions League. You know, it's difficult to see past them for any of these competitions.
Right. Martin, why does a run-in do things like this to big clubs? Like, with all due respect to Palace and Liverpool losing to Palace, with all due respect to Villa, and Villa having a hell of a season, it's not over yet, but Arsenal lose at home to Villa. Why does a run-in do this to certain teams?
Well, it can happen, Jim. It's, I mean, people have got normal human frailties. And when you see the prize in front of you and you think that you've been there, thereabouts for the whole season, and it's within your grasp, suddenly it becomes a bigger task.
But City don't seem to have these frailties.
Oh, well, that's true. And they don't have them because they have a habit of winning football matches. Now, and I suppose, well, here's an interesting point. Would you feel then, if Manchester City, now 2 points clear with 6 games left, they would have loved that situation about 5 weeks ago? If they lose it, they wouldn't be considered bottlers in the league because their history has proved that they aren't. So I just think it's a wee bit early to call. It's Arsenal's first loss in 2024.
Yeah,
which is amazing, really, when you think about it. They had a tough old game during the week against Bayern Munich at the game myself. They had a chance to make it 2-0 just before Bayern scored. Different ball game then after that. So it's just, and Arsenal losing, I suppose, against Aston Villa. But Aston Villa themselves are doing brilliantly, looking for a Champions League spot. I think the Liverpool result on the back of being beaten by Atalanta was a bitter one for Klopp to take.
Yeah. I mean, Simon, the messages came in thick and fast for me at the weekend there. Off the back of the Liverpool result, a former player got in touch with me right away, does a bit of broadcasting. Well, I hope you're going to hammer Klopp in Liverpool for being bottle jobs, just like you guys did Arsenal. I mean, do you still feel that Arsenal have got this tag, incidentally, that they might well end up bottling it? And in fact, if they go out to Bayern midweek, they will have bottled it.
But everything is contextual, right? Arsenal were top of the league. And Arsenal snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. They didn't lose the league last year because they got done a couple of times by Man City. They lost the league because of a run of games against teams that they should have been able to overcome. And that's where that observation comes. It doesn't mean you're a bottler in perpetuity. It means, in that particular instance, they choked when it came to the business end of a season. Now, you look at Arsenal now, I think you've got to look at the result yesterday and say that Unai Emery was probably tactically more adept than Arteta, so he should be. He's 10 years older, more experienced, been around, managed a lot of different football clubs, including Arsenal. Villa have done a double over them, so that tells you something else. Look, I still think there'll be a twist, but again, I looked at Arsenal last week before the run of fixtures, and you find yourself in a situation where, as much as you want to be definite, circumstances like, what was it, Harold Wilson said, events, dear boy, you know, the 7 days in politics is a lifetime, and so it can be in sport. Because at the beginning of last week, I'm looking at Arsenal thinking, I think they can win this league. And then a week later,
yeah,
they put in a performance against Bayern Munich where I thought they were slightly immature at times during that game. And City just keep on grinding out results. They bash Luton up 5-1. They'll move on to the next fixture. They've got proven players now that have won the league 3 times out of the last 4. So they know what they're doing. And whereas Arsenal and Liverpool are beginning to show certain frailties. And the bigger one for me is I'm surprised. I mean, they were profligate against Palace. They had chances, but so did Palace. Palace, you know, they could have been 2-0 up if Robertson hadn't cleared it off the line. And you look at that and you think what Klopp said was, you're going to see a reaction. Now, you kind of did and you didn't. They've gotten beaten 1-0 at home by Crystal Palace. And that wasn't the reaction that anyone anticipated from Klopp's team after getting their heads handed to them by Atalanta.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it tells you about this Liverpool squad. It might tell you that everything isn't quite as rosy as one would have thought it was in terms of the calibre of players that Klopp will be leaving behind for the guy that walks through the door.
I was talking to a couple of people at the dinner last night, the EFL dinner, and we were talking about Liverpool, Martin. And it was being suggested, you know, the mood was bound to change when the announcement about Klopp came along. The mood was bound to change one way or t'other. It would either galvanise them or it might throw a bit of uncertainty into the mix. And it's the latter that we're witnessing at the moment, isn't
it? Well, you see, Simon mentioned about a week being a long time in politics. Just after the League Cup final, we were talking about this, how the whole football club had been galvanised by Klopp himself, but by the very fact that he would be leaving. That League Cup, he mentions himself, will go down in his memory as one of his best ever, even though he's at a league championship and a Champions League to his credit as well, too, and including the times he was at Dortmund. So, and that was that's not that long ago. So now suddenly they've lost a game or two. I think the telling comment was that he said himself, he's disappointed with himself because he wasn't able to at half-time. Or whatever he said at halftime didn't seem to have the desired effect. It didn't turn the game round. But I think if you're talking about this bottle thing, I'm a bit concerned about it. It's elusive for Arsenal because they have to get over the line. Once they get over the line, if they ever do, then winning the following season actually becomes easier. Believe it or not, you have to get over that line and.
Do they get over the line though this time?
That's a very good question. Do they get over the line? Simon mentioned something about, you know, there might be twists and turns. I think there probably could be as well too. Can they still win the league? Yeah, they can. But yesterday was a major blow to them. Not phenomenally unexpected considering that Aston Villa had a decent side. But it's still tight.
Still tight. So are there any more twists and turns to come? Some of you out there probably will say, yes, there are. But then when you look at it, Manchester City top on 73 points and they're in a familiar position, are they not? Is this how it's going to finish up? Manchester City 1 and maybe Arsenal, Liverpool 2 and 3, maybe the other way around. But Manchester City, are they going to win another one? Are they looking like it? Seems to me that they're on the brink again. Bit to go yet. But are there still some twists and turns yet to come? Martin's here. Simon is here. Give us a call. Liverpool fans, where are your heads now? Having lost, of course, so badly to Atalanta and thereafter to Palace at home. What is left for you this season?
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
As the final whistle goes, and the Crystal Palace fans to my left are going absolutely berserk because this is a result that moves them 8 points clear of the bottom three and surely safe from relegation. But for Liverpool, they miss the chance to go top of the Premier League, and could this be the end of their title charge?
What is going on in the Premier League? We saw Liverpool lose to Palace. We saw Arsenal lose to Villa. And now Manchester City in very familiar territory. We're taking many of your calls. Mark, thank you for your message this morning. No doubt in my mind, Arsenal bottled it last year, but to say they're bottling it again is a bit harsh. I'm a Villa fan. We did a job on them in the second half yesterday. Saying they bottled it does a slight discredit to the Villa. Thank you so much. Great show by far on TalkSport. Mark, thank you very much indeed for that. Ricky's a big Liverpool fan. Ricky, what's going on with your club? Good morning.
Morning, Tim. Morning, Simon. Morning, Martin.
Good morning.
Morning, Ricky.
As always.
Thank you.
For Liverpool, I really don't know what's gone wrong. I just feel like yesterday in the first half, the players looked so leggy and tired, and it just felt like they just had no energy. But it's no excuse at the end of the day. We're taking 20-plus shots in a game, and we're not scoring a goal. I mean, if you look at the stats for Darwin Nunes this season, all of his goals have come against teams outside the big six. The only team that he scored, which probably were in Europe this season, were Newcastle. They were in the Champions League. He scored 2 goals against them. Everybody else has been against like Burnley, Luton, like all your small clubs. You know what I mean? He's not turned up in the big games. Mo Salah, he's not looking the same since he's come back from the injury. But I just felt like this week for Liverpool, there's not a player that I'd probably say that performed really well. Maybe Andy Robertson had a great game yesterday, but at the same time, we can't just keep relying on 1 and 2 players. Like, we banked on
Trent
coming on and having a great game, but at the same time, like, you've got to give these players time to get back into the team. But
and Ricky, are you worried now the Premier League's got a familiar look to it with City at the top?
For me, the way I watched the Arsenal game after, and the way Aston Villa have played, I don't see Liverpool getting anything against Aston Villa, especially at home as well, with Aston Villa being at home. Like, their form at home is unbelievable this season.
Right.
And Unai Emery is doing a cracking job.
Okay, Ricky, listen, thank you. Many good points here. We're going to try and crack on, get as many of you on as we can. Dave's a big Arsenal fan. Dave, good morning. What's your take after the weekend we've just witnessed?
Good morning, boys. Good morning, Martin. It's a pleasure to have you speaking. I was a big fan of yours back in the day.
Thank you.
I think it's gone. I think it was a tall order anyway with the Arsenal because of the fixtures. If you look at how our remaining fixtures, we've got to go to Old Trafford. We've got the North London Derby. So it was a tall order anyway, and I think yesterday was the final. Now I think we needed 3 points there really, to get, especially after Liverpool losing. It would have just given us that buffer. But getting back to the actual game itself, and I don't understand it. Perhaps Martin can answer the question: is why do managers seem to tinker with formulas that were working? He put Havertz back in the midfield, dropped Jorginho. Havertz went back to where he was at the start of the season. Saka's looking tired. He played Sinchenko, who's vulnerable, and when he's got Tomiyasu on the bench. And then he brings off Martin Odegaard and brings off Jesus. And it just all looked disjointed. And I don't understand why managers do it. I really don't.
That's a good point. I mean, does the pressure get to the managers as well then, Martin?
Well, I've been managing some time and I made some decisions that I thought, I don't know why I did that. So I kind of feel that. Do you think that it might have something to do with the aftermath of the game against Bayern Munich? Maybe, you know, sometimes the best judge is someone there who's been working with the players, obviously, Arteta. And he sees the reaction of the players afterwards. He sees maybe a bit of tiredness setting in. Perhaps maybe he wanted Jesus to start the game this particular time. It's an interesting one, and you do make a couple of really good points. I'm not sure why all the changes were all made at that stage. If they come off on the day, you think, well, that's absolutely right. Sometimes you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. Oh, the only thing I would say in Arsenal's defence is that it's the first loss since start of January. And don't give up yet.
Yeah, Dave, don't give up yet. But you're in the point of it, are you?
No, I'm not really throwing in the towel, and I've been proud of the boys. I mean, they've given us some brilliant teams, brilliant times this season, and they'll continue to do so. And Arteta's still, you've got to remember, Arteta's still learning his trade. He's still a relatively young manager compared to Klopp and Pep. So he's still learning his trade, and mistakes are going to happen. It's just gut-wrenching, really, because now we're going to get labelled again, and you're going to get all the certain parts of the media and all the idiots, you know, calling us bottlers. This ain't a bottling season. This is another season where we could just fall short. Anyone else in the title race, and we're winning that league.
Dave, simple as that. Were you there at against Bayern Munich?
No, I couldn't get a ticket for Bayern Munich, unfortunately. But I was there yesterday, and I've been there most of the games, Martin. And it's been fantastic.
It has, yeah.
It's been absolutely amazing, and it will continue to do so.
I was going to say, Dave, it's not over yet, mate. Surely.
I'd like to say it's not. I really would like to say it's not. But as I said, it was going to be an uphill struggle anyway because of the fixtures. If you look at Man City's fixtures and look at ours, it was always going to be tight anyway. And now it's just even more tighter. So
okay, Dave. We'll listen, see. Thanks for the call. Many good points. Keep the faith. So many of you trying to get through. We'll take some more calls the other side of 10:30. Simon, I see you're plotting the fixtures there, are you? You're having a look at who's going to play who and what,
yeah,
and why.
I was looking at it, yeah, and seeing who's doing what, when and how. How many points they've currently got. How many points Arsenal got last year. What won the leagues the year before and the year before. That, just trying to see the direction of travel of this league. You can't. I mean, again, Arsenal with Wolves, Chelsea, Spurs, Bournemouth, United and Everton. You know, you look at the fixtures. And Graham said it last week, to be fair. He said it about Celtic and Rangers, didn't he? And look at the week that Rangers have just had.
Yes.
You know, and the ultimate outcomes of that, result of that week. You can't write anything. But when you're looking at Brighton, Forest, Wolves, Everton, Spurs and West Ham, I'm not sure that City will be, their knees will be knocking about any of those fixtures.
OK, we have a ton of City fans, Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans trying to get onto us. And we'll take some of your calls the other side of this.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken. With White and Jordan.
There's William Martin, an Aston Villa fan. English fans do mock the Germans, the Scots, the French leagues for one-sided dominance. But is England not beginning to look a bit like that at the moment? City, 6-7, another Premiership title if they do it. I mean, yeah, there. Is there not a point there? You know the situation in Scotland. It was Celtic's league time after time. And many people down here used to say to me, is there nobody else? Rangers ever going to win it? Well, they won it once under Gerrard, and now it looks like Celtic again. Certainly, Leverkusen have ended Barnes' dominance for the time being.
Yeah.
But we've got a situation here whereby City continue to dominate, have we not?
If they win, that'll be four successive championships.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
Could be back-to-back trebles.
Any particular league could be as well, too. They've been a terrific side, there's no question about that. And what I think, because we've been talking right up until yesterday about how close this title race is, how brilliant it's been this particular season. So, yeah, if they go on to win again, I think those sort of inferences will be drawn.
Yeah, they're bound to be. Would they be fair inferences, Simon?
I'm not sure people mock other leagues. They just state facts. The fact is that up until recently, Bayern Munich had won 10 titles in a row. So that's a fact. And you look at the SPFL, it's a two-team league. So you're just making observations.
No, now, but I've heard you say Ligue 1 in France, not the strongest in the world, because of PSG's dominance.
Well, that's right. But ultimately, if you look at the backstory of the Premier League, you've got, like I said on Friday, so we've got three teams trying to win the Premier League up until the last six games of the season. Right? The German league's finished right now. Most of the time, Spanish leagues finished pretty early as well. So we've got teams in the last three seasons that have been competing to win the league all the way up until the real business end, last 10% of the season. You've got five or six sides trying to get into Champions League spots. You've got eight or nine sides trying to avoid relegation. You find me a more competitive league. You find me a league that's got more jeopardy attached to 90% of the fixtures from the first whistle to the last whistle of the 500th game or whatever it is of the season.
But do we not judge it in outcomes? And if the outcome is 6-7... then it's a one-horse league, is it not? Well, it's a league whereby one club dominates.
At this moment in time,
that club City.
That argument is a decent argument if you want to make it. If the perception is you start from a position that English people or the fans of English Premier League are ridiculing other leagues. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're stating the facts. And now they have a similar conundrum.
You've got to swipe at the Scottish League now and again.
Because I think generally it's poor.
There you go. There's
but
another
that's
one.
Not... But, you know, it is... whether you like it or you don't, it's not because I'm swiping at Scottish leagues.
You see, Ligue 1 is underwhelming.
Well, it is.
There you go.
Well,
so this proves the point.
So with the exception of Lille in recent times, who's won the Ligue 1 in the last 10 years? Who dominates it?
This is it, man. It's a familiar story. You get where I'm going with this?
I do get where you're going with it. I do. I mean, the Premier League is very, very strong because there's a lot of money attached to it. You know, if you put the same money into the SPL, for instance, you know, Dundee might actually be able to get their pitch sorted out. And at some stage or another, if you did this, and you're talking about leagues. I mean, Barcelona and Real Madrid share the league in Spain. There wouldn't be that many teams in Italy outside Juventus, Inter Milan, and AC Milan as well too. So you know, you're having this domination because the league is, as Simon mentions, not as strong underneath. You've got the top sides and the other sides. You can lose games in these leagues. You know, Juventus could go away to Lecco and get beaten in the game. But at the end of it all, it's eventually those teams will be there at the end.
Sure. But after the post-match interviews, the likes of Klopp and Arteta, there's almost dejection that we're looking like another inevitable outcome, and the inevitable outcome is City. Are we not, Simon? I mean, believe me. Hang on, before
dejection amongst who? Liverpool and Arsenal fans, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think really the league in general. Let's ask Marwin, who's a big Liverpool fan. Marwin, good morning. Thanks for coming on. Are you guys out of it then after the Palace result?
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Martin. Brilliant show as usual. I think pretty much it's for City, but you never know. Still, I think if they lose against Real Madrid, they might have a step back and maybe they withdraw the next game in the league. But for now, I think Liverpool fans around the world, and myself one of them, we should be proud of this team. I mean, no one predicted after catastrophic last season to be competing until the end of the season and the league. So we just need to galvanise around the team, all the supporters around the world. I think we need a new manager. Obviously, we're going to have a new manager. I'd like to have someone like Inzaghi, the Italian manager. I think we need something more pragmatic. We love the football. I've been to Anfield a few times this season. It's a brilliant football, but I think we need more pragmatic manager that a little bit slow down the football, because you can't play 60 games in that high intensity. It's really, really hard for every player, and that's why we get more injured. So next season, hopefully with a new manager, I think we have a revolution in the team as well. Maybe we need a new striker, get Nunes in the right side, probably Diaz, as much as I love him. Maybe his dad, he said he wants to leave, go to Spain. That's ultimately the outcome of most of the South American players in the Premier League. They want to go to Spain. So maybe we'll get a new striker and move a little bit tactically, and hopefully next season we'll go for it again.
Okay, Marwin, I like that. Quite a note of optimism from you, and why not? David's a Man City fan. David, is it your title again?
Well, I think it was ominous a few weeks ago when England played, and Declan Rice said to John Stones, we've got a big game at the weekend, and John Stones, maybe said it a bit tongue-in-cheek, said, why are you playing? And we've got yous. Yes, I suppose it is a big game then. So I think that says a lot about the mentality. But if you remember a few years ago with City, when we got dumped out of the Champions League by Real Madrid, they got two goals in the last minute, if you remember. It was a crushing defeat. What did City go on and do? They went and won the next league game, and they went on and won the league. That's the mentality of this team and this manager. Listen, there's a few things I want to say. We're trying to get on here for a while. But with City now, Pep Guardiola, another thing that he's brilliant at, he's very good in the press conferences. That's an important part of management now when you come up against journalists. He leaves them leaving that room asking more questions than answers. He's the best one I've seen since Alex Ferguson at controlling a room of journalists. He's brilliant at it. You know, that's an important part of management that. I looked at Ten Hag yesterday and he walked out on his. The writing's on the wall for that guy.
We're going to get to Ten Hag. Is that a good point that David makes, Martin?
About
press conferences, dealing how you deal with journalists?
Pep Guardiola deals with the journalists in that manner, which obviously he's delighted with because he keeps winning.
Yeah.
It's easier to deal with the press conferences when you're winning.
When you win. That's a fair point, David, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, but with City as well, I mean, obviously there's a lot of rival fans now. They're saying about it's getting boring, City dominating the league and all that. Well, didn't Liverpool dominate it in the 80s and Manchester United in the 90s? We've just been lucky to carry on this sort of mini dominance that we're having. You know, it's not as longevity as what Liverpool or United are. If we carry on doing it, then of course. But and obviously the 115 will get labelled at us. But listen, when we get on to that point, there's a few things I want to say on that. And that is, City started their revival many years before that takeover. And there's no denying it, the money's helped us win these league titles. But of course it has. But people like Francis Lee signed off the new stadium. He put things in place. He's brought us on commercially as a football club. We're sinking faster than the Titanic on the pitch. We have six managers in one season. But the kink lads in money, when we sold him at the time, kept the walls at the door. Joel Royle got had to cut the squad down from 60 to 30 players. And he got us up two leagues back to back. We've got Dennis Tewart on board. They put a lot of things in place, City, to make us an attractive proposition at the end of the day. And we're just like a new brand. Of course, we've not got as many fans as United or Liverpool. But I'll tell you what, he's coming. There's brands around now that weren't around when I was a kid. It's always been Nike and Adidas. You either wear a pair of Adidas or a pair of Nikes. There's new brands on the market now. Things like Under Armour.
David, I like your call. Actually, I like your call, Simon. You're nodding. You're nodding.
Well, he's absolutely right. I mean, the next generation of football fans will be brought up neutrals on Manchester City's success. So whilst I make this analogy about United and Liverpool being Ferrari and City being Red Bull by brand association, in a generation's time, that will change if Manchester City keep on winning. If they keep on winning and keep on moving forward as they are now, and with the ownership model, when Pep Guardiola leaves, we'll see if the cycle continues. But David's right. He is right in that respect.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the brands that people associated with once upon a time are different to what they now associate with. And if City keep winning, then they will become one of the elite football clubs in terms of legacy positions.
David, just in a sentence, are you on the brink of another treble then? Do you see it?
No, I think it'll be very difficult. I'm an honest fan like that. I think Arsenal will eventually win the league. I think they're a bloody good team, Arsenal. They're the only next team to City at keeping the ball. What a surprise. We've got a coach here who worked with Pep Guardiola. We've got a great manager here. People need to hold on and just accept it for what it is. He's had a lot of money to spend. I get that.
Yeah.
But all the top managers has. Would have Ferguson done the same job if he was at Sheffield United with a low budget? Maybe he would have. I don't know. He did a great job at Aberdeen. It pains me to take my hat off to him, but he was a great manager. But Mourinho, Wenger, they all manage top clubs. Pep Guardiola is a top, top coach. He's an elite coach. They've created an environment there at the CFA that is pretty remarkable, guys, when you see it. He's a very clever manager. Give him all the day off this week, Pep. He manages his squad very well. Arsenal will win the league eventually if they carry on the way they are.
David, many good points, mate.
He's a great manager.
Thank you for that. Thanks for your call.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Martin, one major story coming out of European football over the weekend, specifically in Germany, specifically the Bundesliga. Bayer Leverkusen won their first Bundesliga title with 5 games to spare. 5-0 win over Werder Bremen. And of course, Xabi Alonso, the man at the helm now of Leverkusen. So it ends an era of dominance for Bayern Munich, who had won the past 11 Bundesliga titles. Just before we came on air, we spoke with German football broadcaster, top man, Konstantin Eckner. And we asked Konstantin to put this well and truly into perspective for us.
It has come as a surprise. I mean, in the recent weeks, of course, it was expected that Bayer Leverkusen would end up winning the championship. But going into that season, most expectations were that Bayern would win again the championship, especially with Harry Kane coming in as the marquee signing. Bayer Leverkusen were considered one of the top three or four clubs, but not really a contender for the championship. So it's a historic moment, and it also breaks Bayern's dominance because they have won so many championships consecutively since 2013. So I think Bayer Leverkusen's title win is basically on par with Jürgen Klopp's two championship wins with Borussia Dortmund in 2011, 2012.
I mean, as you say, we had got used to Bayern Munich dominance. So how much did the German game need this new, fresh story?
I think it helps the Bundesliga tremendously, also in terms of marketing, especially to the international audience, because having only one champion for over a decade makes it a little bit dull, makes it not that attractive as in terms of promoting the league, especially internationally. I mean, domestically, it's a bit of a different story. Just supporters are supporting their club no matter what. But especially for the neutral audience, it's great. And also, I think on one hand, it establishes Bayer Leverkusen as a club of marquee. And also, on the other hand, it gives Bayern a kick in their rear side and potentially helps them to actually revamp their squad and turn some stones around.
What now, Konstantin? I mean, can Bayer Leverkusen sustain this, or is it a one-off?
I believe it will be a one-off. I think there will be some sort of decline next season, but I still think they might play for the championship. But Bayern Munich, usually once they are poked and once they are somewhat embarrassed even, then I think they will make a lot of new signings. Max Eberl, the new man in charge at Bayern Munich, has already talked about it, that they will make a lot of changes. And I think, yeah, once you poke the bear gets angry, and the bear in German football is still Bayern Munich.
But for now, I mean, let's say Alonso backs up what he's done in the Bundesliga by winning the German Cup and winning the Europa League. What's left for him?
That's a big question, especially with him deciding to stay at Bayer Leverkusen. Next year, they will play in the Champions League. That's something Alonso liked to do with the team. So there is something to look ahead to, and they are playing in the Champions League next year, so that might be something. But of course, I mean, once you win three titles in a season, I mean, they haven't done it now yet, but imagine they would do it. It's really hard to come back from that and to reproduce such success. But yeah, that's the challenge for next season. But I think what's promising for Bayer Leverkusen is that all the key players are also staying with the team. So like Florian Wirtz, 20 years old, one of the most talented attacking midfielders in Europe. Usually someone like him would leave Bayer Leverkusen after a season like that, but he also has decided to stay. So I think that's also the Xabi Alonso factor.
Presumably Harry Kane must be hoping his North London derby know-how gets him through against Arsenal and gets Bayern to a Champions League final. Then he might win something out there.
There is still a chance for Bayern Munich to make this season a success story after all. Bayern Munich have surprised a lot of folks in the first leg of their quarterfinals tie against Arsenal, just because Bayern Munich came in as the underdogs, but they played quite well. It's a different style. I mean, they usually just try to hit Arsenal on the break. It will be a different game at the Allianz Arena in Munich because Bayern will have more ball possession. But I think they have a chance to actually beat Arsenal, which would be a success, of course. And then going into the semifinals, who knows? I mean, Bayern are in contention for the Champions League trophy.
That was Konstantin Ekner with us a short time ago, talking about this incredible achievement under Xabi Alonso by Leverkusen, breaking Bayern Munich's dominance in the Bundesliga and winning the Bundesliga title with five games to spare. I'm not going to ask you about Bayer Leverkusen or Kausen or something. Shall we speak to Martin about this? Bayer Leverkusen. Well done. Excellent stuff. Martin, what kind of achievement is this by Alonso? He's 42 years young.
It's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. And I think, I mean, it's not just the European football story of the year. It might even be of the decade. But it's I can't believe it. He's taken over a side that were second bottom of the league and probably not going anywhere. I don't know what sort of changes he's had to make or not make, as the case may be. To win that league, by five games with Bayern Munich, with the strength and depth that they have, it's extraordinary. It really is.
It might sound silly, but can success like this come too soon for you?
You might as well take it when it's offered to you, and you are the owner of this success. Take it. go and take it, and then let's see what happens after that there. This idea of something happening too soon, I've never been a great believer in it because, you know, maybe it's just my Irish nationalist Catholic upbringing, you know, disaster's always around the corner. And so perhaps no, go and take it.
Yeah.
Take it.
I think Martin's right. I mean, Simon, Constantine was interesting there. We put it to him, listen, are they going to do it again? Are they here to stay? Probably not. Bayern will be back next season and probably win it back.
Well, Bayern were very lucky to win it last year, weren't they? I mean, Dortmund imploded in the last game of the season. Mm. So Bayern could have lost it last year. Without diminishing any of the achievement that he's done, he has caught a perfect time with Munich in decline. And so with that in mind, he's taken the opportunity to build a side that possibly if Munich were in their pomp might not have achieved the things that they've achieved.
Yeah, but when they bought Harry, they thought, well, we'll win this again.
Yeah, but they are in decline. They were in decline last year. They've got a coach now that's fallen out of favour again. What's the concerning thing for Arsenal is that the only redemption that Bayern Munich may have this season is to win the Champions League. So there's their motivation to be able to be. But then you've got a coach leaving, going out the door. So how motivated is he? Well, who knows?
Yeah.
The point is that you've got to give credit to this young manager. You take them where they come. You know, obviously I've made observations about people much younger in their career, like Emma Raducanu in tennis, that I think it came too early for her and she didn't have the right people around her. But in this instance, I think he's a sensible thinker. I think he's absolutely right to have not taken the Liverpool job. I think he was very sensible. It's easy. Often in football, what people do is they take the opportunity because it's there. It's an immediate opportunity.
Did you think that at the time when he was being heavily tipped to take it?
Yeah, I thought it was strange that it was priced in to Leverkusen's thinking that they would have this propensity to release him because it was priced in, wasn't it? Saying, well, they've got a relationship with the manager where if a bigger club comes in, you can leave. I was like, well, what do you think of your own club if you've already put that in there? And it's an implicit understanding. But I think it's a telling thought process that he's quite a mature individual that sees opportunities and thinks, well, I'll build and they'll come.
Mm.
And some people would say, I was listening to Paul Merson saying the other day that, you know, this is stupid. He could go, well, that's why you manage Warsaw, Paul, right? Because with due respect, this guy's managing...
What did Paul Merson
saying,
say?
How could you turn down Liverpool? Lack of ambition, losing mentality. Yeah. And I'm looking at it going, you just won the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
You know where you're at. Liverpool is a really... Following Klopp is a big, tall order.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's wise to avoid it.
Yeah, you may well be right. But also, there might be a part of him that wants to manage Leverkusen in the Champions League.
Correct.
And let's take
it's
it.
It's not a lack of ambition.
Yeah, Leverkusen give him the opportunity.
Absolutely right.
Go and repay
absolutely
that.
Right.
Which he has, don't get me wrong, he has repaid that in that sense, but continue on.
On your journey.
And that's sure. absolutely right.
Well,
and
the same, Xabi Alonso will be in our midst later this week when Bayer Leverkusen come over here to take on West Ham in the second leg of their Europa League tie, and it stands at 2-0, Bayer Leverkusen.
Download, stand well back, listen. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.